This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama taslima kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. The hadith for today is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relates, it's a hadith of Abu Dawud, Imam Nasa'i and Imam Ahmed. All of these authors have related this hadith, hadith number 227 from the provisions for the seekers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man ista'adha minkum billahi fa'a'idhuhu. وَمَنْ سَأَلَ بِاللَّهِ فَأَعْطُوهُ وَمَنْ دَعَاكُمْ فَأَجِيبُوهُ وَمَنْ صَنَعَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَعْرُوفًا فَكَافِئُوهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَجِدُوا مَا تُكَافِئُوهُ فَدْعُوا لَهُ حَتَّى تَرَوْا أَنْ قَدْ كَافَأْتُمُوهُ." In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking about a number of things. Essentially, all of these things are about how to respond to somebody. When they seek something from you, when they do something for you, when they're in need, and when they request for something from you. What is the appropriate way of responding to all such people? So the first one is saying, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever seeks refuge of you in the name of Allah, grant it to him." This normally refers to a situation where it's more of a political situation, and it used to take place in, it probably still takes place in many places, and I'm sure we could also relate this to our situation. But essentially what happened is, for example, you've got a non-Muslim coming in from a place that is at war with a Muslim place, and one of the Muslims here gives refuge and says, "I give refuge to this person. I give amnesty to this person. This person is under my protection." So essentially any individual among the Muslims can extend their protection, the personal protection that they enjoy, to somebody else. And in most cases, it has to be respected. In most cases, it has to be respected. And so that's why the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she gave refuge to her husband who had not become a Muslim yet for quite a while. And number of other situations as well, when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu left Makkah Mukarrama under, when he felt some persecution, and he went down south, and there was Ibn Dughunna who met him, one of the chiefs of one of the tribes of the south, and he said, "Where are you going?" And he said, "I'm being forced out of my city, or I'm having to leave." And he said, "A person like you can never be forced out of his city, or should not have to leave on his own accord. Come on, I'll come back with you to Makkah Mukarrama." He came back to Makkah Mukarrama, and this Ibn Dughunna, he spoke to the chiefs of Makkah and said, "I'm putting him under my protection." They said, "Look, we agree with that, as long as he doesn't do this." And they gave him one or two conditions. So it's out of respect for somebody else, because the thing is that if somebody gives you protection and it's contravened, then the person who's granting this protection is then officially at war. So this was kind of a rule, and then a kind of an unwritten rule as such. And nowadays as well, I mean, the point here is that, let's just say that you've got somebody in your community, and we could extend this to somebody's after someone for maybe some money that's owed to them. And they come and ask you, "Look, can you please, I can't really pay, I don't have the means to pay," and they're legitimately in need at that time. And you know them, so they're asking you for protection. That can you go and speak to them and say, "Look, you take some kind of guarantee." Although we're kind of extending the meaning of this hadith, and that's called kafala, but that can still be done. Where you're trying to protect somebody genuinely for some good reason, right? Where people are after them. So if somebody asks you in the name of Allah, so the main thing here is that he's asking you in the name of Allah. So it's not for something false, because for something false, they probably wouldn't ask you in the name of Allah. So it has to be something legitimate. If you're giving sanctuary to someone who is doing wrong, it means you're assisting in evil. It means you're not helping the oppressor, you're not helping the oppressed, but you're helping the oppressor in the wrong way. You're supposed to help him by giving him nasiha. So whoever seeks refuge of you in the name of Allah, grant it to him. The second part, which whoever asks you in the name of Allah, give it to him, this is much more general. This is asking anything. Somebody asks you something in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give it to him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the habit that if somebody asked him for something and it could be given, he would give it. Just in the Shama'il, it's what we read yesterday in the commentary of the Shama'il, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had just been gifted a really nice shawl, a sheet that a woman had, one of the Sahabiyah, she had woven herself, and she gave to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, "I did this for you," and she gave it to him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out wearing it. And one of the Sahaba, he said, "Can I have that?" So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat for a while, then he went inside and he took it off, put something else on, wrapped it up, came out and sent it to him. And the other Sahaba who were sitting there, they weren't very happy about this, because they said that, you know, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't like to refuse anything. And it says in the beginning of the hadith that when the Prophet ﷺ had taken it, he took it with the intention to use it because he was in need of something like that. So it come at the right time as well. But the Prophet ﷺ gave it away. So somebody's asking you in the name of Allah. I mean, how can you refuse that? SubhanAllah. Because a person who has tawakkul in Allah, who recognizes that everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first place anyway, then they would very clearly immediately think that, well, this has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this person is asking me in the name of Allah, I must give it to him. This is very different from a beggar who comes and that is their statement. Give me something in the name of Allah. They say that to everybody every day. They just don't want to work. That's a different story. But when a normal person comes to you and asking you for something in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give it to him. Allah will give you back. The main thing here is to teach people reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you give it to him, he's asking you in the name of Allah, he's asking you in the name of someone great. You can't ask with any greater tawassul. You can't have any greater tawassul than that. So give it to him. And whoever gives you an invitation, accept it. Now this is where it's to your benefit, you know, it's to our benefit. Gives you an invitation, then accept it. That means they invite you to eat, for example. They invite you for something that is an act of righteousness. Then accept it as far as possible. Obviously, this is not a hukum which is categorical that you cannot refuse. It's an encouragement. It's mandub. It's mustahab. It's a sunnah that accept it when people invite you. Normally what they say is that if it's an invitation to a walima is probably one of the strongest of the invitations for eating. Among the invitations for eating, the walima is probably the strongest invitation. That is, as long as haram is not taking place in that gathering and you know it. Then in that case, there are other laws that will be applied. So what it normally says in that kind of a situation is that if you are a role model of any sort, somebody who people look up to, you're a scholar or you're a leader or you're a da'i of some sort, people look up to you, then you must avoid places of haram completely. Because you just have no option in that. People will take that as an example from you. If you're not, then it would depend on the relationship. And then in some cases, you might have to just kind of go in, eat and then leave. The best thing would be to actually speak to them in advance. If you know there's going to be something haram, that look, this is the way things are, I can't come in because I'd be a party to this and it's not something that I like myself to do. Other invitations, you should try to take them on as far as possible. And if the person that is inviting you, subhanAllah, Allama Nahlawi, he says that if the person who's inviting you is a poor person, then you should even make more effort to go and accept his invitation. What happens sometimes is that if it's a poor person, that's inviting you, you may not accept. And if it's a person who's not as poor, you'll probably accept. Because you're thinking, a person is thinking, we're thinking that it's not as much of a burden the person has. The other person who's poor, he doesn't have. So then we probably think, I don't want to be a burden on him. But obviously the person is only inviting you because he's made the means. He thinks he's made the means. He's not inviting you and then there's going to be nothing in the house. He must have scraped something together and really wants to invite you. And that's why he's inviting you. You don't want to break his heart. Because the person has probably gone through a lot more hurdles and has taken a lot more effort, probably, than the person who's more well off to be able to invite you. And now that he's asking you, make sure you accept. What they say is that you should accept as far as possible, as long as it's easy for you to get there. Yes, it says that just because a place is too far, it also actually says that if a place is too far, that's not an excuse not to accept. Unless it's really highly inconvenient and it's too frequent. So if a place is far, then you have to clearly understand that if a place is far and somebody is inviting you, they're inviting you for a reason. This is just not your buddy who's now moved to another area and every week is calling you up. Come over, come over, come over. But clearly you don't have to go every week, otherwise you'd be traveling, you know, 3-4 hours every week to go and eat at somebody's house. Which if you've got the time, it's fine. But if you don't have the time and, you know, nowadays people are busy, then you don't have to accept that and it won't be bad. You can go once in a while. But if one of your relatives are inviting you once, then it's good to go. So that's what it's saying, that if somebody invites you, you should go. You should accept it. And whoever does you a good turn, I mean, this is very progressive, you know, from somebody asking you to do something for them, to asking to invite you for food, you know, to be hospitable to you. And then the last part is, whoever does you a good turn, repay him. Regardless of what that good turn is, somebody does you a good turn, repay him. How do you repay that person? Well, one is that if somebody does you a good turn, then you give them a gift. Not out of obligation and not out of custom, but purely because you want to follow this hadith and you want to be seen as a generous individual and you want to also increase the love between you and that person. What they normally say is that when you give somebody something to someone, it is of three types, depending on the intention. Three or four, it could take on three or different forms, depending on your intention. If you give something to someone for the sake of reward, then it's a sadaqah. So I'm going to give my friend something for the sake of reward. My primary intention is reward. Reward you get in everything good you do. That's going to be the underlying theme all the time. But if your primary intention is reward, then that becomes a sadaqah. And that's not what you're told to do with your friends in general, necessarily. For friends and for people who you want to develop closeness and love with, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you give them hadiyah. So the intention in giving something to someone should be that this is to increase the love between us. And this is a hadiyah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tahaddu tahabu. Give hadiyah mutually between you and it will increase the love between you. Hadiyah has a really powerful way of opening up somebody's heart. When somebody receives something from someone, it really opens up their heart. And the better that thing, it opens up their heart even more. Right? It opens up their heart even more, especially if it's from somebody who had to go through some effort to get that particular gift or something, or the cost of it for that matter. So if you really want to make up with someone, then it's good to give a good gift. Right, so if it's done to increase the love, then it's called hadiyah. And that's the way it's going to be with family and friends. Now clearly you're going to get reward in that as well, because it's done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is what we've been told by His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But our primary intention is not just sadaqah. Right. The third possible reason is you give something to someone for an ulterior motive, because you want to establish contact with this person so that they can help you out afterwards. They've got good contacts, they can give you a promotion. So you go and give your supervisor a gift because it's out of promotion. It's to maybe earn his favors afterwards. Or if you're a storekeeper or a business person, you give your employee something to keep their morale higher. But in that one, that could be a hadiyah to increase the love and understanding between you and your employees. So that one could be a hadiyah, that could be quite generally hadiyah. Then there's one, I mean, what would you consider if it was businesses giving out freebies, right, for the sake of attracting their customers to them? I guess it's just part of business. So that's fine. So if somebody, وَمَنْ صَنَعَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَعْرُوفًا فَكَافِئُوهُ, if somebody's doing you a good turn, you should respond, you should give something back. So as I said, the first thing was that if you give something to someone because you want to increase the love among you, then it's considered to be a hadiyah. Although you'll be getting as well, because you're following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do that. But your primary intention is not reward. Your primary intention is to increase the love among you. If you give something for an ulterior motive, then that is rishwa, that's bribery. Right? That's bribery. Now, that would depend on exactly what circumstance you're in. Clearly, if you're trying to get something which is somebody else's, but you're giving some money to win the bid, that is clearly haram, completely wrong. The ulama have allowed that in certain cases where your right is due to you, but somebody is causing problems in between by forcing you to give rishwa. For example, you are due a visa because you meet the criteria. You are due a housing permit or a certain permit, a building permit or whatever. In some countries, you have to give a golden handshake with it. Now, the thing is that as far as possible, you must avoid that as well. But even in some cases, even if it takes a bit longer, like if it's instead of 1 week, it's going to take 2 weeks, fine, don't give the rishwa. Have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't give it. Because in some places you give it, your work will be done in 2 days. And if you don't give it, it'll take 2 weeks, 3 weeks and 4 weeks. And sometimes it will never happen. So now that would depend on your level of tawakkul. But the ulama, many ulama in the Hanafi school have given a fatwa that if it's your right, not where you're taking somebody else's right, if it's your right, you're qualified for it, but they're still not giving it to you, then it's permissible to give that payment. But as I said, that would be, I personally would say that it would depend on how long. If it's just going to be a bit of a delay, then leave it, don't give it, because it's still a grey area a bit. And if you give something to someone for just the sake of reward, then that's sadaqah. That's what you give to poor people, for example, that's sadaqah. Or you give to the masjid. Or you give to an orphanage, or a school, or something of that. That's sadaqah, that's a type of sadaqah. So we give things in various different ways. Sadaqah, hadiyah, rishwa. And then there's one where you give something to just keep away somebody's harm from you. For example, a friend of mine, he is, mashallah, a good Muslim, wife's covered up, moved into this area in Los Angeles where one of his neighbors was really bothering him. And he was actually having children come to pray at his house. I think his wife was teaching them. And one or two of the neighbors started causing issues. So what he did one day was, he found out, spoke to the neighbor once, and he discovered that the person has a bird, keeps a bird. So he went out and he bought an expensive bird cage. Right, really nice bird cage that a person would probably never go out and buy himself. And he took a few other gifts and he went and he said, these are gifts for you, my neighbor, these are gifts for you. He said, from that day, everything stopped. Right? Everything stopped. It's expensive, it's an expensive gift, but this is daf'u shar. This is to repel evil, this is to repel evil. Otherwise, it's night misery after misery when somebody's going to cause you problems. You don't know what they'll say to the authorities, what they'll say to people. And, you know, you could end up hassled greatly. So that's daf'u shar. It's kind of a rishwa, isn't it? But it's not, it's daf'u shar. So you can't, well, at the end of the day, I think it's a type of hadiyah, not a rishwa. Because you're trying to create love and understanding between you. So that would actually come under hadiyah, but it's for daf'u shar, that's how it starts. So it is a hadiyah because you're trying to create love between you. And that really works. It works in most cases. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, if you're unable to find anything by which to return the favor, specifically where the Prophet ﷺ is here is saying, whoever does you a good turn, repay him. So, if you are unable to find something by which to return the favor, supplicate for him until you think you have repaid him. Subhanallah, supplication is free. You just need time and concentration to do it. And that is something which is at premium today. Time. And you get the time to pray for someone else. We just about pray for ourselves in many cases. But the thing here is that if you can't pay somebody, repay somebody in with the same, with a hadiyah, with a gift, something back, a favor back, then at least make dua for them. And make so much dua that you think you repaid them. That's going to be something you have to decide. This hadith obviously underscores the fact that people, you should give back and not just take. Because it's saying that if you don't have anything to give back, physically or monetarily, then make dua for them. Now, how do you supplicate for somebody until you think you've repaid them? You can either, you don't normally get up for tahajjud, you get up for tahajjud and you make 2 rak'ats or 4 rak'ats and then you make a special 15-minute dua for that person. Especially if it's a big gift. How valuable was that gift to you? Now sometimes, the more valuable the gift is, for example, you had a major issue, major court case, or a major hiccup in some application you'd put, or in some immigration issue, or in something else to do with school, or your family, or medical, or something, and somebody helped you out. You can't pay back that person, because the value of it would be in the thousands. Get up at night for tahajjud and make some serious dua for them. That would be a form of repayment. So normally what the ulama mention, for example, Mulla Ali Al-Qari, he mentions that repaying somebody until you think you have sufficed them or you've repaid them is normally making dua for them over and over again. And now this would be specific dua for them. Then after that you can include them in your general du'as.